The Holy Gospel for today is taken from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his vineyard. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in this peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we will wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me.' The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, in your name even demons submit to us.' He said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Okay, raise your hand if you grew up with siblings. All right. So how many of you were the oldest child in your family? How many of you were the youngest child in your family? How many of you were middle children? Oh, you all get an extra hug from me today because I'm a middle child too. I have a brother who's 2 years older and a sister who's 8 years younger. And I was not the rebellious middle child. Lisa, I don't think I was. I was kind of more the peacemaking middle child. But then I also grew up knowing a secret. I did. And that secret was that that I was my mom's favorite. How did I know that? Well, she never said it, but I didn't feel like she had to. She's always had a very special way of making me feel important, making me feel loved completely, tremendously. It was often through the little things that she said and she did, and then the big things that she said and she did. I knew that I was loved. I had to be her favorite, right? But then I grew a little older. And my less childish eyes noticed something. My mom also had a very special way of making my brother feel loved and my little sister feel loved through those little things and those big things that she said and she did. And I suddenly realized that they were loved too, completely, tremendously. Although my brother and my sister and I are each very different people, my mom has always related to us in the ways that we each need. The myth of my being the favorite was busted because I realized we are all her favorites. All three of us, each in our own way, are her favorite. And I realized that's good, actually. That's very good because she's a good mom. And we are family. We're all different, very different, yet equally loved. A mother's love can be truly amazing. Now, I say this knowing and grieving the fact that not everybody has had that experience with their mother. We as mothers, and I am one, so I know that we are imperfect. We're all human, and we all make mistakes. And sometimes we fail our children. Then sometimes we as children don't always recognize or see the love that our mothers are offering to us in the best ways that they can. Not one of us is perfect. But I say all this to point us to God, to God's love for us, a love that is perfect, a love that loves each one of us perfectly. In the book of Isaiah, God promises, as a mother comforts her children, so I will comfort you. Like a loving mother, God comes to each and every one of us differently to show us and remind us that we are loved tremendously, completely, perfectly, especially when we forget. Especially when life slams down upon us and we don't even feel close to being God's favorite. I find this image of God as a mother comforting us in times of sorrow and anguish deeply comforting. In Isaiah, God was speaking to Jerusalem, to God's people. Jerusalem had been utterly devastated. God's people suffered through the exile and were cut off from one another. They were cut off from their land, and they were cut off from God. They had no home. Then, when some of them were finally able to return home, they found even more suffering. It was worse going home than it was living in a foreign land. God's people were beginning to lose hope. They were forgetting who they were, and they were forgetting who God was. They were forgetting how to live and that God cared about them. So God promised to them, and God, as God promises to all who suffer, to all who forget who they are and all who lose hope, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. Today we also hear about Jesus commissioning the 70 to go out. They go out in the name of Christ to bring peace and healing, announcing that the reign of God is near, taking nothing except for themselves. And as they go, they are completely dependent upon the hospitality of others, of those who receive them. They're completely dependent on each other. Jesus warns them they are going to be vulnerable, like sent out like lambs in the midst of the wolves. Jesus instructed them to receive that hospitality that they are offered. And if they're not offered a hospitality, to wipe the dust off their feet and move on. Jesus is wise because he sends them out in pairs. Because first, they're not alone. Second, two people who are called to work together in Christ's name are simply going to have to work things out. There's no democracy with two people. If three or more people disagree, you can take a vote, right? With two people, you can't do that. If you have to negotiate and you have to compromise. You have to talk things through. They will have to figure out what's best for both of them and learn how to live and work together. to do what Paul writes about to the church in Galatians. Whenever we have the opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. We are the family of faith. And this is the model of how we are to live together as children of God. Whether there are two of us, or 20 of us, or 200 of us, or 2,000 of us. We are all different, yet equally loved by God and called to share the good news of Christ, offering peace and healing, to give and receive welcome and hospitality, to work things out together, to negotiate, to compromise, to talk things out and to figure out what is best for all of us, so that we can live together in mutual love. So that we can live out God's promises to all of God's children. This is what it means to be the family of God. We are not perfect, but we are committed to working together for the glory and praise of God. To our God who comforts us in our sorrows and pain. To our God who loves us all. All of us. I'm finding that it doesn't matter how old I am. I'm 50 years old. And my mother still feels like home to me. The sound of her voice, the warmth and feel of her hugs, the taste of her homemade raspberry freezer jam. They comfort me. They remind me that I am loved. Today, God reminds us that we always have a home with God. No matter what. God promises, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. Today we are sent out to give voice to put hands and feet and heart to that amazing, tremendous, and complete love of God. To comfort and love one another as God loves us. To love others as brothers and sisters in Christ. And as we do, wherever this journey of life takes us, we always have a home in God's love. Amen.